Bibles to Revelation 21. The very back of the Bible. There's only 22 chapters in Revelation. So at the very end of the Bible. Tonight we want to look more at what heaven is going to be like. What will heaven be like? So let's think, if we were to die right now, if you were to die, you know, tonight, okay, our bodies would go where? Our bodies? In the ground. Our body's going to sit here, right? What's going to happen to our bodies when it goes in the ground? It's going to decay. Okay, are we going to be in the ground with our bodies? No. No, I think back to Renee Epps' funeral and one of her daughters looking at her mother right there. One of the young daughters said, "Mommy's not here." And that's exactly right. The mommy wasn't there. That was her body. And as we'll see tonight, that's just a tabernacle. This is just, you know, a shell that we're in right now. But who we are, our soul, who we really are, is not going to be in the ground, sitting there sleeping and waiting for anything. Okay, we know that 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8 says, if we are absent from the body, we'll be present with the Lord. And so as soon as we die, if we would die tonight, if we're saved, the body's going to be here and people will say prayers over the body and, you know, we'll all be here looking at the body, but you won't be here. You'll be in heaven as a Christian. You'd be present with the Lord. So that's where we would go. Now, when we go to heaven right now, if we would go tonight, what would heaven be like? We're not given a lot of information in the Bible on that heaven. You know, the third heaven, as we talked about last week. We know we would be present with the Lord. We see what it looks like, I guess, in Revelation 4 through Revelation 19. A lot of scenes from heaven describe a throne room, describe some elders, describe some creatures around the throne. So we see that, but it's kind of a place we can't really imagine. And John himself in Revelation, he tried to say the best he could that I saw this and it was like this. It was like this. Okay, but that's where we would be right now. But at the rapture, okay, up until the rapture, then we would be in heaven. Our souls would be in heaven. Would we have a body? No, no body. But at the rapture, when Jesus Christ comes for His church, the Bible says that the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And so the dead bodies in Christ are going to rise up and meet their souls in the air. That's what the Bible says. And in an instant, we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. So if the Lord would return tonight, then we would be taken out of this world, raptured, we'd be caught up to be together with the Lord forever, and our bodies would be changed. And then at that time, you know, at the time of the rapture, that sets off a 7-year period where we would be in heaven in our glorified bodies, our Christ-like bodies. We would be seeing, and that really is what Revelation 4 through 19 describes, is those things taking place during that 7-year period when we would be in heaven. There would be more martyrs during the tribulation period joining us, being under the altar, it says, but we would be in that heaven. Then, at the end of that 7 years, we're going to return with Christ to the earth. And we will be, from then on, we're going to be on earth. So when we think of heaven, for a short time, we're going to be up in the third heaven, in a place that's kind of indescribable. But then really, the rest of heaven is on earth. 1,000 years, the Bible says, we're going to reign with Him on this exact earth, right? And then after that's done, after that 1,000 years, it's going to bring in the eternal, the new heavens and the new earth. And we're going to live on that for eternity. But we'll live on earth, a new heaven and a new earth. It's a perfect heaven and perfect earth. But that's what heaven's going to be like, for the most part, is this new heaven and new earth, which is described to us in Revelation 21 and 22. So when we want to know where we're going to spend the majority of our time, it's going to be in Revelation 21, 22, in that heaven, in that earth. So let's read Revelation 21. We'll start with verse 1. Tonight we're really going to look closely at verses 3 through 5. So Revelation 21, starting with verse 1, John writes this through the inspiration of God, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for these wonderful, beautiful words, and for the glimpse we get of where we're going to spend eternity. And so, Lord, may we rightly divide your word of truth tonight and study it and see just the great unspeakable gift you have for us. And it's a free gift for us, Lord. And I thank you for that salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Actually, this just brings me, I was just talking with Jed. We were doing some discipling earlier. But looking in Romans 8, 15 through 17, it's talked about, you know, even some of the sufferings we go through on earth. But I think it's Romans 8, verse 18. Go there real quick before we get started. This isn't even in my sermon, but we were here. Romans 8, verse 18. And it fits in with this. Because we just got a glimpse of what this new earth will be like, that we're going to spend eternity on, with no pain, no suffering, no tears, no crying, no death. Romans 8, verse 18. Let's start in verse 17. It says, And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also, maybe be also glorified together. So we talk about, as Christians, are we going to just, when we accept Christ, things are perfect? Or will we suffer? Yeah, there's going to be sufferings. There's going to be tribulation. There'll be trials. There'll be pain. There'll be sorrow. It says we will suffer. I mean, our Lord and Savior suffered. I mean, how much more, you know, his servants, those that follow him. But look at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time. So no matter what you're going through here on earth, the sufferings of this present time, of your life, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So no matter what we have to go through, if we had to go through the worst suffering for 80 years on this earth, it's not even worthy to be compared to how great things are going to be, to the glory that shall be revealed. Not worthy to be compared to. And that's the heaven we're looking at. This heaven that, I mean, we can't compare anything on earth to how great it's going to be. Let's go back to Revelation 21. So no matter what we suffer through here on earth, we can do it because we know it's not worthy to be compared to what we're going to be, where we're going to be for the rest of our life, for eternity, for eternal life. Okay, Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. The tabernacle of God is with men. A tabernacle. What is a tabernacle? Anybody know? Yeah, it's a dwelling place. It's a house. So in the Old Testament, Moses was told how to make his tabernacle, a place that God would actually dwell among them. Let's go to Exodus 29. So there was a tabernacle when God had his people, the Jews, when he brought them out of Egypt. He gave specific instructions how to build his tabernacle, his house, that he would live in on earth. Exodus 29, verse 42. So look at this to get an idea of what a tabernacle is. This shall be, and this is God speaking, this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. So God would meet them in the tabernacle. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. It would be holy because God is holy, right? It was sanctified. But God was going to meet them in the tabernacle, his house, his dwelling place. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. So his tabernacle was on earth at one time. And there was a holy of holies where they went in once a year because of the glory of God. So we get an idea of God living with men on earth. Okay, but they never saw his face. Okay, and let's go back to Revelation because that's a glimpse of what's to come. But the tabernacle that he will have on earth with us in heaven is a lot more personal. There's not a veil there. There's not just certain people that can go in. Now let's go to Revelation 21 and read verse 3 some more. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Go over to verse 20, or chapter 22. Chapter 22, verse 3, it describes this more. 22, verse 3, it says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face." So we're going to see his face in his tabernacle in this new Jerusalem. We will see God's face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So we're going to see God's face. His light is going to light up the world. We won't have a sign. I mean, we're going to see him and be with him to an extent that nobody ever has. No man has seen God at any time, the Bible says, but we will. When we get to this new heaven and the new earth, and when God comes down and makes his tabernacle with us. Let's go to 2 Peter real quick, just to look at this tabernacle one more time. 2 Peter chapter 1. Because our bodies are just a tabernacle for our souls right now. We're just in our bodies right now. When Peter talks about this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Peter writes, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." Did Jesus tell Peter that he was going to die for him? Yeah, at the end of John, he showed Peter that he would die in what manner he was to die in. And so Peter writes, as Lord showed me how I'm going to die, shortly I'm going to put off this tabernacle. So if we would die tonight, all we're doing is putting off this tabernacle and going to dwell with God in heaven. That's not too bad, is it? Amen. We can go put off this tabernacle. I mean, tabernacle gives us problems, right? We got pain, we got hurts, we got all these kind of things. We get to put off this tabernacle and go and be with God. Okay, let's go back to Revelation 21. But God's tabernacle will be with men, we read in verse 3. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Let's go to verse 4 to find out more of what it would be like to live with God and have him tabernacle with us. Verse 4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." God's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. So this will happen when? When God tabernacles with us, right? At the end of the thousand-year period. So could there be tears during the millennial kingdom? There could be. I mean, we might cry, you know, because we see people that reject Jesus Christ. They still will. Especially at the end of that thousand years, they're going to come to fight against him when Satan's released. Okay, we might be witness to the great white throne judgment and see people we know be cast into the lake of fire. There could be tears. But we know that after that, when Christ comes down, when he lives on earth in the new heaven and new earth, there will be no more tears. He's going to wipe away our tears from our eyes. Okay? Right now on earth as we live, as Christians, there's going to be tears. Paul said that he ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So Paul, the apostle, he had tears for people, warning them, trying to turn them towards God, and they wouldn't, you know. Psalm 126 describes our life on earth, and it says that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So right now our life may have tears. If there's things that hurt us, there are words that hurt us that people say, there's actions that people take against us. We have death of loved ones, we have sickness, we have pain, we have sorrow, we have rejection. On earth right now there is tears. Right? And we should have tears even when we sow, when we go out and spread the word of God. People are going to reject that. And really what happens when they reject it, Jesus Christ said that when the word is sowed, you know, some seed goes on the rocky land or by the wayside, and Satan comes and plucks that out so they can't see it. I mean, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. It's not people rejecting it. It's Satan coming in, and he's making them reject it. He's stealing that word out of their heart. And because of that, we will have tears. We can sow in tears. We want people to come to Jesus Christ. But the Bible says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed." What's that precious seed that we have? The Word of God, the Gospel. Okay, we bear that precious seed, and we shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So we don't know when we take that barrier, that precious seed, and we spread the gospel, and we sow in tears. We don't know who's going to come to Christ. We don't know whose life it's going to affect, but we do know that the Bible says that we shall come rejoicing, bringing sheaves with him. So there is going to be growth. There's going to be some of that seed that falls in good soil. So we can sow in tears. And so on earth there will be tears. Even spreading the gospel, there'll be tears. The Bible tells us, he that winneth souls is wise. Because we're going to be able to bring forth with joy. Bring his sheaves rejoicing with him. And we're going to have joy in heaven. We can lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. All right. So Isaiah 25 tells us that he will swallow up death in victory, talking about Christ, and the Lord God will wipe away all tears from off all faces. So this was, the Old Testament tells us we'll have tears wiped away. The New Testament will have tears wiped away. Let's go ahead and read more in Revelation 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So that's going to happen in this new earth, this new heaven. And there shall be no more death. There shall be no more death in heaven. Okay, why is there death now? Because of sin. The wages of sin is death. Death is because of sin. Turn to Romans 5:12. So the only reason there's death is because of sin. There's going to be no more death in heaven. Romans 5, verse 12. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Who's that one man? Adam. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So that sin brought what? Death. It brought death to people. No longer would they live forever, eternal life. There would be death. They were dead spiritually. Brought death to the animals. I mean, death entered the world. Death came because of sin. The curse came because of sin. Okay? But in the new earth, when God is dwelling with man, there will be no death because there will be no what? Sin. There's going to be no sin. So we as Christians can say, oh death, where is thy victory? Oh grave, where is thy sting? Because there will be no death. We will conquer death because who has already conquered death? Jesus Christ. Death is swallowed up in victory. Christ defeated death. So there'll be no more death. No more. He'll wipe away tears. There'll be no more death. Let's go back to Revelation 21. We get a glimpse. And I don't know that we can understand it truly. You know, how much our world is affected by sin. How fallen this world is, how cursed it is. I mean, we can go look at nature and see how beautiful things are, but I don't think we understand what true creation was and what creation that's not tainted by sin would be like. All right, so now we read on. It says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow. There won't be any sorrow, any sadness. We won't cry, there won't be any sorrow. Let's turn to Genesis 3. When do you think sorrow came into the world? Right after sin. Right after sin entered the world, then came sorrow. There was no sorrow. I mean, when Adam was sitting there and it was just him and he didn't have his helpmeet, he didn't have his wife with him, was he sorrowful? No, God just wanted his best. God said it's not good that man should be alone. But was Adam crying that he didn't have somebody? No, there was no sorrow before sin. He was fine. God just loved him so much that he wanted to give him a helpmeet, to give him a helper suitable. Okay, but sorrow came as a result of sin. The first time we see the word sorrow is right in Genesis chapter 3, right after sin entered the world. Verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Sorrow came because of sin. Look at the next verse. Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Sorrow came because of sin. In heaven, when we get to the new heaven and new earth, there will be no more sorrow because there will be no more. There'll be no more sin. Let's go to Isaiah 51 while we're in the Old Testament. Isaiah 51, it describes this new heaven and the new earth that we'll spend our eternity on. Describes it in Isaiah 51, verse 11. Isaiah 51, verse 11 says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return The redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. That's Jerusalem. Speaking of the new Jerusalem that we just read about in Revelation. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I mean, the Bible's always talked about this, that there's going to be a time when sorrow and mourning will flee away. There'll be everlasting joy when we come to the new Jerusalem. Let's go back to Revelation 21 again. Revelation 21. So we see all these things happen in this new earth. What will heaven be like? This describes it. There'll be no tears. God will wipe away the tears. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Okay, in heaven, there's going to be no pain. Pain is caused by sin. Okay, in hell, there's going to be pain. There's going to be death. There's going to be sorrow. Psalm 116, verse 3 says this. Listen to this. The sorrow of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. You want a definition of hell? There's death, pains, trouble, and sorrow. All those things are going to be missing in heaven. There'll be no death. There'll be no pains. There'll be no trouble. There'll be no sorrow in heaven. Why will there be no pain? Because the former things have passed away. Now, when you think about this, that because there'll be no pain, because sin has passed away, we really look at the Bible. And in the first three chapters, the first two chapters, we kind of find about creation. And then right away in chapter 3, what happens? Sin. And the whole Bible deals with sin and that atonement for that sin. That there had, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. But we see people dealing with their sin, trying to get right before God because of their sin. From Genesis chapter 3 all the way through to Revelation 21. And finally, we come back to a point where there's no sin. There's really only the first two and the last two chapters of the Bible where there's no sin. So the whole Bible is a book about sin and how we can deal with sin. How we can atone for sin. So how a pastor, how a preacher can get up and not mention sin is amazing, because that is the message. That's the reason the Bible was written, because Jesus Christ came to be the propitiation for our sins. I mean, we have to talk about sin, because that's the whole problem. We would, if there wasn't sin, we wouldn't have to, you know, talk about anything but the first two and the last two chapters. We wouldn't need Jesus Christ. But we need to talk about sin. But we come to the end. These last two chapters, there is no more sin. And that's why all these things are passed away. All the things we have, sorrow and tears and pain and death, none of that is going to exist. We don't know what we're in for. We have no clue. Because the former things are going to be passed away. They're going to be gone. Right now, the Bible says that the whole creation, I mean the stars, the sun, the moon, the earth, the animals, the plants, us, the whole creation groaneth together and travaileth in pain together until now. Everything's in pain. Everything's groaning because of sin. There's a curse. In Revelation 22, verse 3, we read, and there shall be no more curse. That curse is going to be lifted because the curse is there because of sin. But there'll be no more sin in heaven. Look at verse 5. Chapter 21, verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne. Who's sitting upon the throne? Yeah, God the Father, God the Son. I mean, we don't know for sure, but it's God. Okay, God is sitting upon his throne. He said, behold, I make all things new. All things are going to be new. Everything in the world is going to be new. There's going to be new heavens, a new sky, new outer space, new stars if they're there. And heaven's going to be on earth. There's going to be a new earth. Everything's going to be new. But what about us? Are we going to be new? Or is that going to be our souls? We have to be new, right? We have to be new. We have to be, when we become Christian, born again, we have to have a new birth. Okay, we can't get inside our mother's womb and come out again and be born again, but that new birth is by God. Okay, it's not by the will of man, nor the blood, but it's only by God that we can be born again and received as His Son. But we have to become new creatures. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I mean, when I read verse 5 in Revelation 21, verse 5, he said, behold, I make all things new. And everything will be new because we're going to be new and we're made new in Christ. He made us new. We didn't make ourselves new. We didn't say something, I'm going to really become a Christian. I'm going to do it without Christ's help, you know. And we can't make ourselves new, but God does. He makes the whole creation, including each one of us. And if we're not made new, we will not be in the new heavens and the new earth. Old things have to pass away. All things have to become new. So the question is, have you had a new birth? Okay, because Jesus said, if you're not born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. We have to be born again. Secondly, are you sowing with tears right now? I mean, there are going to be tears right now. We should have sorrow. We should have a burden for those that are not going to be here at the new heaven and the new earth, that are going to be in a place of eternal torment, where there's death, there's pain, there's crying, there's sorrow, there's tears. Okay, we need to sow in tears. We need to have a burden for lost souls. Even if it makes us look awkward, we can go out and share the gospel. Even if we feel uncomfortable, we can share Jesus Christ with people. Because how will they hear without a preacher? And you know what? In the Bible, there's no qualifications for a preacher. Okay? You don't have to... I can be a preacher. Jeremy's got up here and preached. Anybody can get up here and preach. And it doesn't have to be in a church. Anybody can preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we're all told to do. It's not that, you know, how will they hear without a preacher? Well, I need to go get a pastor and have him speak to them. No, we can all preach the good news. And it doesn't have to be from a pulpit. Okay, we want to sow right now. We want to sow that seed. We need to take forth the precious seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's the only way. It's the only way that people can be saved. How will they hear? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They have to hear the gospel. There's no other name other than Jesus under heaven whereby men must be saved. Jesus Christ is the name. So let's do that this week. Look for opportunities. Pray for opportunities. Pray for people. Be ready to share the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for your promises that we see in your word, for this new heaven, this new earth that we're going to live on that we cannot even begin to imagine, that whatever we're going through now in our life, whether we have to go through it for 1 year, for 10 years, for 80 years, it's not even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. So Lord, we look forward to that. We ask you, Lord, to come quickly. To come right now, no matter how much, we want to see our children grow, we want to see all these things, but it's not worthy to be compared to if you would come back right now. So Lord, come. Come for us. And Lord, I ask that each one of us here could have peace, not be afraid of death, not be afraid of anything that could happen in this world. Because we have our peace in you. And we look forward to your coming and to putting all these things in motion so we can finally get here to this new heaven and this new earth that you described in your word. So I thank you so much for your word, Lord. Help us to live your word and not just read it and know it, but to live it. I ask that you be with everybody here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.